Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest.
We've got Orange County native and KX Presents headliner Matt Costa.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Good morning. It's Daily Scramble Live, and today on the show, I will sing the police blotter. Got a good story today.
And yeah, Matt Costa, great friend of the radio station, now lives here in Laguna Beach playing Marine Room this Thursday night, is in studio with us later on.
Yeah, and hopefully Wildman Mike Waldman will bring a few rare tracks from the wardrobe. Keep listening. It's Daily Scramble Live.
Halloween is upon us.
Oh, my God. Oh, Halloween.
It's coming.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
I know.
Did you know that?
Yep. Saw it in the calendar.
It's still going. Yeah.
What is it, Halloween? What's the point of it? What does it do?
Oh, man.
What does it mean?
What's your favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving.
Because you get to eat?
Because you get to give thanks. Are we being serious now?
I kind of. I'm curious what your favorite holiday is.
Great celebration of gratitude. Fantastic American invention.
That's lovely.
Yep.
Mine's Halloween.
Okay.
Because I really like being scared and scaring others.
I know you do. I find that very strange.
Isn't it weird?
I don't like being scared in the same way I don't like being pinched or punched or in pain.
There's something, I don't know, something masochistically invigorating about
masochistically.
Is that a word?
It is now.
So this month, I've done, I think, 6 or 7 haunted attractions.
I know. It's not even Halloween yet.
I did one. Well, you have to do them up until the day. Mm. So I did one in Las Vegas called Gates of Hell. And that's rated like one of the top scariest haunted attractions in the world. And I was, I got trapped into a dark box and shocked by electrical shocky things and scary.
Well, at what point does it become, like, I wonder how they must have teams of lawyers. What point does it become a thing where, okay, at this point, people can now start suing us?
Well, you sign a thing.
Oh, you do
sign
a thing?
You have to sign a thing before you go
really?
In.
Really?
Yeah, you waive your right.
You waive your rights to suing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very, very good of them to do that.
There's a couple good ones in Orange County this year. There's a new one they opened in Tustin called 17th Door. That's 17 themed rooms. And, basically, you have to get out of each of them. It's not really a challenge, but each of them is themed and has a different actor inside and something happens.
I can see how you love this, and this is completely, it's the opposite of a nice time for me. And the weird thing is, you probably say it's the opposite of a nice time for you. It's not a nice time, is it?
It's a scary
kind of on the edge. It's a bit like being on a roller coaster, that kind of feeling.
Totally. It's exactly that kind of
exhilaration.
Feeling. Exhilaration. This loss of control, yet exhilaration. Fear and excitement are the same. Do the same thing to your body.
Right.
It's the same emotion.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And finally, there's another one in Brea called Sinister Points Fear of the Darkness. Mm. And this one isn't a maze, but rather you and a guy go in together, you and a teammate, and one of you goes into a zombie-filled dark room, and you have to find stuff in the room while the other person's on an infrared camera directing you.
What do the zombies do when they catch you?
They try to scare you.
They just scare you.
It's just pitch black, so they try to scare you.
Wow. They've got actors.
Yeah.
I know. They've got actors dressed as zombies, people zombieing around.
Yeah, exactly. I got to take you to one of these things.
No.
So that leads me to this, okay?
I don't want to go to any of these things.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Jason Fetty and I are going ghost hunting.
Is it tomorrow? It comes up very quickly, doesn't it?
Tomorrow. With the OC Ghosts and Legends Ghost Touring Company.
Why do I agree to this stuff? You know why? Because the future always seems so distant to me. And then suddenly it's upon me. Tomorrow night we're going... Explain what we're doing tomorrow night.
I will explain it. So it's a paranormal team, OCGhostsandLegends.com, and they give tours of haunted spots in Orange County. They do San Juan Capistrano. They do the Grand Canyon Caverns. They like to go into the outdoors and find paranormal activity. So you and I are going to Black Star Canyon with them privately. They're taking just us out. And we're going to try to record paranormal activity on our cameras and on our recorders. and we're going to play back the results on the air on Friday morning on Halloween Eve on
this
the show.
Surely this is a setup.
What do you mean?
Well, they must set up stuff that scares you and embarrasses you. This is what it is for me.
No. They're very serious.
All right. I suppose it'll be fun for somebody.
This is labeled as ghost sounds.
I know.
Is this what a ghost sounds like?
It's actually an instrument called a theremin.
Yeah.
You know that? That's what it is. Brilliant. Yep. It's a great sound.
So here's what they do. So here's how you capture paranormal activity. They're called, I believe they're called EVPs. So you record audio and you try to listen back to something that wasn't really
there, right.
Yeah. Or in a photo, you try to find something that wasn't in the photo.
This is the thing where I have to just let go and surrender to the moment and just enjoy it for what it is, right? Because you start saying, come on now. There's no such thing as ghosts,
right.
Please. It's not. You don't have to. You got that. You know what? Enjoy it. So I'm gonna. If I don't let go, I'm just gonna sound like a stick in the mud.
Yeah, you do need to let go.
I've got to let go of this. Yeah.
But there's also. I mean, there might be some real fear involved because we're going to Black Star Canyon at night.
Mm.
You know, under what's going to be almost a full moon.
Right. What is Black Star Canyon?
It's up. Up like near the 73, like in the 5, the 2, yeah.
240,
yeah,
61,
way, that way.
Silverado, that
yeah,
sort of area.
That way.
I love it up there.
That's where we're going.
Wow. Well, yeah, and I'm really a whistler in the dark. When I used to walk home from like school or from friends' houses when I was a kid, even though I would have said, even then, I don't believe in ghosts, I was a total whistler in the dark. I would whistle and sing and blah, 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 because I was actually very scared of something I don't believe in. It's so weird.
Well, I'm excited to see that come out in you tomorrow.
I'm gonna be very scared.
So
I'm gonna be scared.
I've done pretty much everything there is to do that's controlled. That's actually a paid for production. That's fake. That you know is fake.
Mm.
This is supposed to be real. What we're doing tomorrow.
Right, yeah.
That's the difference.
My only hope is that I don't scream, "Mom," which I'm likely to do. Oh, my God.
So we'll have the results of that Friday morning on the show. Again, you can learn more at ocghostsandlegends.com. Really nice of these guys to do this with us. Should be a lot of fun, if anything. Maybe.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
First in local news, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. A new aptly named spiritual leader has stepped into the pulpit of St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Laguna Beach. The Reverend Dr. Robert Honeychurch was recently named interim rector. He succeeds Reverend Elizabeth Rector. Are these names real? This can't be real.
This isn't true. None of this is true.
Who left in September to accept the position.
And you did say rector, didn't you?
I did, but I don't really know what that is. I'm just reading the words.
Okay.
Is rector something church related?
Yeah, it is. It's not. It's a different word from rectum, which is something completely different. Yeah.
And Elizabeth Rector was the former person, and the new person is Dr. Honeychurch.
Honeychurch. That's funny, isn't it? It is funny in and of itself.
This really is.
Honey Rectum isn't a name, is it?
No,
it's just this pet name
honey
I use for my wife.
Isn't the story. All right, it's still only 7:10, Jason.
Okay.
He's the professor of theology at the Episcopal Theology School at Claremont, where he teaches about parish leadership, mission, and ministry. Honeychurch worked as a parish priest for almost 25 years, leading churches in Montana, Idaho, and California. He and his wife, hang on, his wife's name is Reverend Sylvia Sweeney.
Okay.
They live in Altadena. Honeychurch and Sweeney. He will serve at St. Mary's while church leaders search for a permanent successor.
They sound like a detective team, don't they? Honeychurch and Sweeney. A British one, anyway. I don't know, man. I'm going to have fun with this at the next Orange County Interfaith Council meeting that I go to.
How is the old person's name Rector and she was a rector?
I don't know. It's good, though, isn't it?
It's great.
Saves money on business cards. You just have to say it once. I don't know.
All right, let's look outside the Laguna bubble. The new median rental price for a one-bedroom in the city of San Francisco is $3,620.
Oh, my God.
That's up $90 in just 1 month. The price is also up 13% over last year's mark. The even bigger increase has been in two-bedroom rentals, which hit a $5,000 median for the first time this month and are up 19% this year. San Francisco remains the most expensive city in the country for rent.
That's a median. That's $5,000 median.
Yeah.
Crikey. I mean, it's expensive enough here. I think the median here is about, for two bedrooms, about 3.5.
Sure.
Yeah.
But people, the difference is, young people are trying to live in San Francisco and work there and have a social life there and contribute to technology, and they can't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the cultural life of the city is going to suffer because of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I read that some people are actually living in Las Vegas and flying to San Francisco because it's cheaper than renting an apartment there.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, well, it's, what is it to fly from Vegas to San Francisco, if you do it right.
$60.
Yeah, $60.
Yeah. So I think you can buy like a month unlimited flight plan or something. Crazy. All right. In other news, a Benton Township, Michigan patrol officer who was driving 30 miles above the speed limit when he hit and killed a pedestrian last month is being charged with a misdemeanor, a moving violation causing death. Officer Eugene Anderson Jr., 52, was driving to a call about a domestic disturbance when he struck Kimberly Bedford, 48. Anderson, a 7-year veteran on the force, did not activate his lights or siren, actions that would have exempted him from the posted speed limits. The charge of moving violation causing death has a maximum sentence of only 1 year in jail.
That's a difficult one, isn't it? But then again, I mean, you can't... Somebody... The cops stop you for speeding. You can't... Just because you've got a good reason isn't a... It's not a defense, is it?
What do you mean? What does that have to do with this?
Well, he had a good reason.
Oh, for speeding.
For speeding.
I see what you mean.
You know...
It doesn't go the other way.
It doesn't work for you and me.
Well, I mean, he has to use his sirens. That's the whole point.
I was out of coffee!
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work.
I thought that was a kind of a poignant one for us being Lagunans, knowing that, you know, we've had issues that are the opposite of that, but a cop to actually commit the crime. Finally, by the end of this century, areas of the Persian Gulf could be hit by waves of heat and humidity so severe that simply being outside for several hours could threaten human life, according to a new study published Monday. Because of humanity's contribution to climate change, the authors wrote, some population centers in the Middle East are likely to experience temperature levels that are intolerable to humans. The dangerously muggy summer conditions predicted for places near the warm waters of the Gulf could overwhelm the ability of the human body to reduce its temperature through sweating and ventilation. That threatens anyone without air conditioning, including the poor, but also those who work outdoors in professions like agriculture and construction.
Huh.
It's real.
Crikey.
And there's stuff we can do. That's the bummer thing about climate change, is there's stuff we can do that doesn't contribute to fossil fuels, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like, although we're better, people are still ignoring it. And I'm guilty of it too, but, you know, nothing's really lit a fire in society that's made us change our behaviors.
No, I mean, I've just flown back from, you know, to Europe and back. We took 3 flights instead of 1 because it was cheaper. I've got the carbon footprint of a charcoal Sasquatch, haven't I?
Quote of the day. All right, let's finish the headline real quick. A zombie and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle helped Beetlejuice cover up a...
Okay, finish the headline.
Rector.
A hit and run. A woman dressed in a full Beetlejuice costume was driving in Atlanta, and she slammed into a Mercedes on the street. And then she called some friends who were also celebrating Halloween, and a zombie and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle showed up, and they helped Beetlejuice push her car off the Mercedes. Then they drove away, but someone took a picture of them because it was ridiculous.
Great. There's going to be loads of these Halloween stories.
Yeah, and now they're under arrest.
Yeah. Good.
There you go.
Cool. Thanks, Ty, for the news.
You're satisfied with the news this morning?
Yeah, I think it's all right.
Great. Guess we'll just move on then. Coming up, Jason Fetty's going to sing the Police Blotter. We'll learn more about our Laguna Beach mountain bike team.
It's a good story this time. Very good story. Keep it here.
And Matt Costa will be here after 9 a.m.
Got the blues? Croon the news. Jason sings the police blotter now.
Groovy. That is some groovy music behind that.
Yeah.
It's well made.
It's bluesy, you see, and this is newsy. Not snoozy, but newsy. Yeah, I like to sing the police blotter. It's a challenge every time. Okay, so look, this was a story that just was like, it's crying out to be sung. Two motorcycles stopped traffic more than once to pop wheelies before they collided. And one flew down the side of Laguna Canyon Road. This story contains tragedy, comedy, and pure natural justice. So these two guys were riding around on the canyon road, and they were literally, one of them would stop the traffic, and the other one would pop wheelies.
Right.
In a kind of circus-like performance. And they did this a few times on the canyon road until finally, somewhere near the 73, the bridge at the 73, one of them stopped the traffic, the other one popped a wheelie, and then somehow drifted toward his friend on the other motorcycle, and they collided.
Right.
In an act of pure natural justice. You could think maybe there is a God after all.
Instant karma.
Right, and thankfully neither of them was really seriously hurt, but they were both schlepped off to hospital in shame. And the police, nobody's charged them with anything. Why would you? Why would you charge them?
I can't believe they didn't get charged, though. I mean...
What for?
Disruption of public?
They've already been sentenced, haven't they?
I see what you mean. Okay.
It's one of those things where you just go, you know what, guys? Let's all just go home, shall we? Anyway, it's such a great story.
So you wrote a song about it?
Yeah, it tells itself, but here it is anyway. See what you think. Did you see the circus in the canyon road? It was like Evel Knievel met with Larry and Moe. Two motorcycles and the riders sojourned. One stopped the traffic while the other performed. Wheelie boys, wheelie boys. Representing everything we are trying to avoid. You're in the way, you're in the road. You are both dangerous and stupid, and that's quite a combo. Dangerous and stupid, and it's quite a combo. Repeated your production maybe two or three times when the drivers in frustration waited in line. And for your grand finale, one of you swerved, crashed right into your foolish friend, and justice was served. Wheelie boys, really boys, representing everything we are trying to avoid. You're in the way, in the road. You are both dangerous and stupid, and it's quite a combo. Dangerous and stupid, and that's quite the combo.
Yeah!
I mean, really. Really.
Wheelie boys.
Really, boys.
When you're writing these songs, does wheelie boys pop in your head, then you're like, there it is.
I was singing, wheelie boys. Like it was certainly kind of fey, you know, effeminate sort of, trying to make them sound like complete morons.
Right.
But you don't have to do that. The story itself.
It tells itself.
It really does. And it's a blank piece of paper, and I was 2 minutes from calling you and saying, I can't do this.
Every week,
and then it just pops out and boom.
Well, fortunately, Jason donates his time on Tuesdays and Fridays and sings the police blotter for us twice a week. And thank you. Well done again.
It's a pleasure.
Everyone's a hit. And we will put them on a CD at some point.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here's Dirty Ghost. It's new music. Song's called Cataract. Show is called Daily Scramble Live on KX93.5. KX93.5 is joined this morning by an artist we've been supporting lately who may be very new to you, but we want to introduce you. Soren Bryce, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for coming all the way down from Valencia.
Of course.
That's
it's a
long
nice
drive.
Vacation.
Yeah.
It's nice to feel like you're getting out of LA because sometimes you'll drive for hours and you're still in LA.
So yeah. And you were for a long time until you made it to Laguna this morning. You're from Texas. So, and what, are you 18? Is that right?
Yeah. My birthday's next month. So
okay.
I'll finally transition out of the new 18.
you can't call yourself.
For now, yes. I'm 18.
So did you move here for this? Did you move here for the music career?
I moved here. I started coming on and off when I was 13 or 14 just to kind of get away from Amarillo. The people were kind of judgmental of my personality. And so I was looking for a place that was more free with their personality, I guess.
Yeah.
And I found it here. And I did some acting for a while. But when I discovered that I loved writing and doing music, I kind of dropped off the acting and started writing music instead. And then it led me to all my opportunities, which have been bi-coastal. So, like, I go to New York and I'm here as well.
Good word, bi-coastal.
Bi-coastal.
So, Texas...
I'm unfortunately not the one who came up with it.
A PR person or something?
Yeah.
Texas was too conservative for you.
Yeah, not that. It's just I was going to a private school.
Yeah.
Private Christian school. And people just were very mellow and relaxed, and I was bouncing off the walls when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I just wanted, and I, it's so stupid. When I was in sixth grade, I had like a boyfriend, air quotes, and he broke up with me because he said I was annoying, and it hurt me so badly for some reason. I hate the word annoying to this day. I would never call someone annoying.
Huh.
And so I was like, I need to find people who get my personality, I guess. And so I started doing acting, and because I did local theater in Texas, and I thought that I connected with those people more.
Yeah. Well, I think what's so admirable about you, and you're obviously very new to this budding career, but you've worked really hard at it. I mean,
yeah.
Reading that you wrote several hundred songs and you've been inspired, it seems like, by people kind of putting you down or telling you can't or telling you no, and you get back in their face and become successful, or at least
yeah.
It seems like that's what you do.
It's funny because when I started writing, I wasn't writing with the intention of ever becoming anything. I was a violin player. I thought I was going to go to school for it. I was hardcore in like the advanced orchestra at this private school in Texas.
You were like violin chair one.
Yeah, yeah. I was super into it, and I studied really hard. And when I started writing, it kind of became more of a hobby for me and more of like a creative outlet. Because violin is very strict and by the book, and you have to do it this way or else it's not going to sound the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But writing, you can kind of just do whatever you want. And then it just became kind of my way of getting my thoughts out and my opinions out. And people liked it. And now it's become everything.
I read that you learned to play guitar because you needed to impress a boy. Is
yeah.
that true?
Well, he was a part of it. He played the guitar, encouraged me to learn. And so I did because I don't want to like, not because this guy is asking me to play. So I learned, but the real inspirational person in the story was this guy who owned a studio in Amarillo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that pushed me to start writing in the first place because I was just like, no, I just want to be like a musician and play. I'm only learning guitar because I want the extra skill. Like I'm a violin player. And he's like, just try writing. Like you seem like you have a lot of interesting thoughts. Just try it. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. And it worked.
Yeah. No, it's
definitely
working.
He ended up recording. It was a demo EP that I never released, but he ended up recording it for free just because he believed
wow.
in me that much. Yeah.
That's cool.
And one of the songs actually won Best Folk Acoustic in this local LA artist award.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely doing well. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to have you in here to catch you on your rise. Again, Soren Bryce in studio now on KX93.5, and she will perform for us here in a second. Have you noticed that people are receiving you well? I mean, you're on a pretty big tour, right? You opened for whom?
Oh, I'm about to go. I leave in November.
Yeah.
I'm opening for Mr. Little Jesus.
Right. That's a big deal.
I know. I love
yeah.
her.
So you know, obviously, are you surprised by the way it's been received or all the hard work is paying off?
I'm surprised by all the positive interactions that I've gotten to have with people. Like I said, I wasn't writing at the beginning with the intention of creating music for people to listen to, just was making it for myself. And so for people to feel like they relate to it, I guess, is really surprising and cool because, you know, I get to connect with a lot of people on a lot
yeah.
of different levels. But I've also gotten like some reviews that were kind of disheartening. But it's my first EP, so it's to be expected. And it just makes me really just want to work on my album coming up and just prove everyone wrong, I guess.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
Or show more sides of me, because I don't think certain people get it yet, get what I'm trying to do or get what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Okay, and by listening more and more, you hope that they would.
Yeah, well, and just my whole writing style, like, shifts based on my emotions, so I feel like this next project is going to be a lot darker, a lot more open, I guess. I feel like the EP was kind of a way to introduce myself to people, but now I want to get into the nitty gritty of, like, the things of my life and my feelings, you know?
Okay, well, you've chosen a couple songs to play for us in studio. So yes. What emotion of Soarin are we going to hear right
now? The first song I'm going to play is called Stick It. It's from the EP. It's probably one of my favorite songs to play because it's just so passively aggressive, I guess. I really like the song because it's kind of empowering.
Cool. Well, whenever you're ready, if you don't mind playing for us, Soarin Bryce is in studio live on KX93.5. Soarin Bryce live on KX93.5. You definitely can take on a different personality when you sing, huh?
Yeah.
You just, I don't even know that girl compared to the one that was chatting with us.
That's funny. Yeah, I think it's because I use music kind of as my way of getting all my feelings out. And so people are surprised. I've heard that before. They're like, you're so nice. I thought you were going to be broody and not happy. And I was like, well, I do this so that I can be happy.
Right.
If I kept it all bottled in, I'd probably be that person.
Yeah.
All the time. But
No, that's great. Again, Soren Bryce is here and just played the song Stick It. We'll hear one more from her. So where would you like people to go to find your EP and to hear your music and all that?
You could check out my website. It kind of has links to everything. It's SorenBryce.com. Or if you're just into social media, my Instagram and Twitter and everything, the handles are all the same.
Cool. And the tour starts with Mr. Little Jeans when?
November 7th in Santa Ana, actually.
Oh, cool. So yeah. Right at the Observatory.
Yeah, at the Constellation Room.
Constellation Room. Awesome.
I'm excited because I've never been to Laguna until today.
Right.
I've never played anywhere outside of LA, really.
Yeah.
Except for New York, but.
Well, you'll find that Orange County has its own scene, or at least it tries to
foster it, you know.
So that's great. That's a good start for you, and
yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens next.
Thank you.
Let's hear another song, if you don't mind. You want to get retuned?
Yeah, I'll retune it.
All right.
Smoking all night long, seems as if I got it down. And no light, no light will make fun of me, because I swim in the dark and I drown. Every one of you is a hoax. Every one of you is a hoax. But at least you have a pretty life. You went from somebody's daughter to somebody's wife. Thank you.
Wow. That was really, really something.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I was moved watching you.
Aw.
Yeah. We never looked at each other, but I was moved.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that's really awkward about eye contact.
That was really, I'm really blown away by that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks
you're
so
welcome.
Much. I really like that song. I think it's probably one of my favorite ones from the EP.
What is Newport? Where is Newport?
It's actually, I wrote it in Newport Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's just up the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have been
I know your geography is mixed up because you just moved here, but yeah, it's
I'm
like,
all like
15 minutes north.
Discombobulated. Yeah. Yeah, I was in Newport after a prom with some people at a house, and I used to have really bad insomnia, and I was out on the porch playing someone's guitar, I don't even remember whose it was, and wrote the music for that, and so I named the song Newport because that's kind of where I was thinking about everything.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I'm sure you're great as a three-piece, but I think I like you acoustically. Is that purer for you?
I think because, you know, a lot of singer-songwriters, they have to adapt to writing because they write by themselves, and so they have to adapt to playing live and being amazing by themselves. And so I think naturally my inclination is to play acoustically because that's how I started and that's how I write, mm-hmm. is by myself. So that's the way I heard it when I wrote it. But it's nice. My band compliments me well, and they're really talented. And some of the songs off the EP do need support because they're just more produced. But I think the song is good by itself.
Yeah. Well, great. Again, you can see Soren Bryce on November 7th. Is that
yes.
right? Yeah. At the Constellation Room and the Observatory in Santa Ana. And please do stay in touch with us and
yeah,
send us new music and let us know when the album is on its way and
yeah.
all of that.
If you want tickets, they're available through my website right now.
Cool.
I think all the links are...
SorenBryce.com?
Yes.
Excellent. That's S-O-R-E-N, Bryce. Thank you. You're really excellent.
Thank you
for driving
for
all the way down. Soren Bryce, again, was in studio here on KX93.5, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Life. Daily
Scramble, Daily Scramble Life. Well, you know, you like the police blotter, but one of this is my favourite section of our show. Mike Waldman comes in here every week, and he's local...
The crowd goes wild.
Yeah, the crowd went mild. And he's a friend of ours, and he's a local musicologist, got a massive collection of music. And the thing about the internet, of course, and the dawning of the digital age, is that you can get anything. Nothing is rare anymore, except that you don't know where to look. And Mike Waldman spends his days looking and living off the fat of the land.
I'm just a hermit. I'm a musical hermit.
He's a recluse. He's a record loose. He lets set the records loose, Mike.
Ooh.
Terrible. It's no, not as good
right.
as...
That was all right.
Is it all right?
Yeah.
That was well done.
Yeah, it's akin to sort of Waldman's wardrobe of wonderfulness. It's almost good. Tyler Russell's here also, of course. Hello,
hello.
Tyler. There
hi.
You go.
Hi.
And Mike.
Howdy.
Brought some music in. How are you first? You've
I'm
just
doing
been on
great.
A little staycation somewhere?
Yeah, well, actually, I went to the East Coast and saw some of the fall foliage.
Do you know, I saw it flying over Chicago.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So I spent the weekend on Long Island, and it was gorgeous for my sister-in-law's birthday.
It's fascinating stuff, you guys.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Okay. Well, how about this? You suggested we bring some music in from the 80s.
Okay.
Would you like to know what she got for her birthday?
I'd love to.
Do you know what? I forgot I was on the radio for a minute there. I have to admit.
Okay. Oh, back to the 80s. So you suggested that we bring in something from the 80s. And I didn't want to just do the most popular bands of the 80s. So I thought, who had a comeback in the 80s? Who died in the 80s? Not physically, but whose career died in the 80s?
Oh, okay.
And then who went up and down in the 80s? So the first band we're going to talk about today is Blondie. Very influential even today in music, still on the playlist here at the radio station.
Yeah, yeah, and she's still out touring as well, I think.
Amazingly, pretty much died by 1982.
Really?
Yeah.
When did she start?
The band got together in like 77. They were originally, her and her boyfriend, Chris Stein, were in a band called the Stilettos. And they got into a romantic relationship, and they broke off from the Stilettos and formed Blondie. But by 1982, they had had their big hits, and then basically they died off. And one of the reasons they died off is that Chris Stein came down with a near-fatal disease. Hmm. And she quit her career basically to take care of the guy for five straight years. So nobody heard of them. He couldn't perform. He was writing all the music. He was the main musician in the band. Yeah. So in a way, it's a great love story in that she gave up everything in a certain way for her love. The relationship didn't last, but he lived.
Great. I'm happy to hear that.
The operation was a success.
Yes. Now, look, here was the interesting thing I found about Deborah Harry. Deborah Harry claims that Ted Bundy, she got into a car with Ted Bundy, that Ted Bundy was driving around. I don't know what city it was. Ted Bundy was driving around and kept saying, hey, would you like a lift? Would you like a lift? It was raining. She couldn't get a taxi. I guess it was New York. She got in the car and she saw that all the seats had been taken out of the car. She got a strange vibe, jumped out. He made a grab for her and she got away.
Oh my God.
Later, when the guy was caught, she said, oh my God, that's the guy.
Wow. So she almost was, chopped up and put in a suitcase.
Exactly.
Wow.
So what we're going to hear is...
Close.
Yeah. Does everybody know that Ted Bundy was a serial killer? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, I think everybody does. Even I knew.
All right.
Yeah, so interesting. Another thing about Blondie, she was originally going to be the android in Blade Runner. And she turned it down. And
no relation, by the way, to Al Bundy from Married with Children.
Also, it's debatable whether she really was an android by the end of the movie, right? I mean, you're not really sure.
That's right.
Anyway, just to be clear.
And they're making a sequel.
Yeah,
she was an android. She was an android.
Is it debatable whether he's an android then?
No, he is an android.
No, that's debatable for sure.
No. In the book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep by Philip K. Dick, which is what the film was.
Oh, well done, well done.
They are both.
That
androids.
Was his trump card. In the movie, he knew the name of the book.
It is not clear.
That
in the
was
film.
The trump card. He knew the name of the book.
All right, anyway.
So this is a live performance from 1980 in Dallas. And you'll hear Deborah Harry introducing the band.
You read about us in the magazines, and you hear us on the radio. But right now, you're going to see and hear Blondie live! Yeah.
cuts so deep, you'll need scuba gear. It's Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness on KX93.5.
Yep, that was cool. Blondie.
Rare live track from Blondie.
She was a great singer, wasn't she? The band was really on it at the time. Really great.
And she wound up making, she was really gorgeous and made about 30 movies. Videodrome, Hairspray, Roadie, Copland. Really very popular actress also.
Well, we've learned a lot about Ted Bundy and Blondie this morning. What's next in the rare
Ted Blondie
wardrobe?
So that was a band that died. So now, next we're going to talk about a guy who had his ups and downs in the 80s. When you think about Dylan in the 80s, what do you think about?
Dylan in the 80s, I think of him doing his religious periods.
Exactly.
He doing was a born again Christian.
Born again Christian.
And then a born again Jew.
Yes.
After that, Infidels, the album Infidels.
So the 80s was the time he put out a lot of bad records.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also when he performed USA for Africa, We Are the World. He also performed at Live Aid. He also toured with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Huh. He toured with the Grateful Dead, and they put out a live album that the review said was quite possibly the worst album by either Bob Dylan or the Grateful Dead. Was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 88. But here's really, I think, and also the Traveling Wilburys was the 80s, which is really kind of George Harrison's super group.
Yeah, kind of. Talking of the Grateful Dead, did you hear that John Mayer's playing with Bob Weir?
Yeah, looking forward to that.
They're saying it's like a marriage made in heaven, you know, like the same, like McCain said about What's-Her-Face, you know, the Alaska, what was her name?
Sarah Palin?
Sarah Palin, yeah, he said it was made in heaven. Said it was, you know, they were made to be together.
Just compare John McCain and Sarah Palin to John Mayer and the
and
Grateful
Bob Weir.
Dead.
Yes, I did.
Amazing. Amazing.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead, mate.
Well, here's what I think was really the important thing for Dylan in the 80s. He found the sound he was going to have to his career up until now. So kind of in the 80s, he was trapped in a rock. Either he was doing some kind of heavy-duty rock or he was doing very acoustic blues music. But he got into a whole swamp rock thing that he's kept up until this day. When you listen to his albums, it sounds like the last album he ever made in the 80s, which was called Oh Mercy.
Yeah.
And my absolute favorite song at that time is called Most of the Time. Such a heartbreaking song. It brings you to tears. But what we're going to hear is an outtake from a really great song called Everything is Broken, where, you know, Dylan's so existential, he reminds us that nothing in life lasts and everything is broken. So this is an outtake from that album, and it's called Everything's Broken.
Very cool. That's an outtake from Bob Dylan called Everything is Broken. We're in the middle of Mike Waldman's Wardrobe of Wonderfulness, where he finds rare tracks for us and plays them on the air, because in the age of internet and record collecting, it's kind of hard to find stuff like this.
Yeah, if you don't know where to look, it's very difficult. That's a great song. Nice one. And I'm just looking at some stuff online about the song, you know. And the more I read about Dylan, the more respect I've got for him. He's the real deal. You know, John Lennon famously said, you know, he's a bit of a magpie, Dylan. He sort of steals from everywhere and sticks it all together. And that's the nature of songwriting. Very few songs, I'm not comparing myself to Bob Dylan, but when you write songs, very few songs just pour out as a stream of consciousness, some sort of spiritual thing where you feel like you're channeling. It's a lot of crafting. It's a lot of work. And about that song, Daniel Lanois produced that record. And he said of Dylan at the time that it's not quite as sacred as you might think. Dylan's songwriting is not quite as sacred ground as you might think. He takes a verse and then he puts a couplet on the side of the page and he brings it back in, and they're all interchangeable, and it's all, he fixes it all up and then he crafts it brilliantly until it's a done deal. So he's really a hard worker, Dylan.
I love the quote. I can't remember who said it, but... the quote was, Bob Dylan is the president of the country I live in.
Yeah, great stuff, yeah.
So what's next on our
Okay, and
list?
Last but not least, so this is somebody who had a comeback. This is a guy who's also in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Gary Respons. Famously, it was a song that I started to play. It was a different song by this guy that Jason actually pulled it off the air. He said, this is so bad, you got to take it off.
I think I heard that. I remember that.
So I got to get this guy on the radio somehow. Gary Respons, he wrote one of the greatest rock songs of all time called Quarter to Three. He was in the Blues Brothers movie and hadn't had a record in years and years. In the 80s, he had a top 10 album, a comeback. And this is a classic soul song from that club called Club Soul City.
Pack up your bags and don't look back. There's a little place out across the railroad tracks. If you're brokenhearted and you don't know what to do, but they got a place down there that's just for you. Club Soul. Trying to lose something that they found down at Club Soul. Club Soul City. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Club Soul. bearing down on your spirit, and there ain't no one who cares. If you're lost and you're lonely, you won't be lonely down there.
Oh, no.
You can't miss it, it's just off the highway. On the front door there's a sign that says,
"Restricted to the Losing Kind Club." So
Gary U.S. Bonds. I don't know, man.
Did you want to pull him off this time?
No, he's got a wonderful voice. Actually, we have a singer in town that sounds just like him, in a way. It's Paul Peterson.
Is it Paul U.S. Peterson?
Paul Peterson from the Missiles of October has got a very similar kind of wonderful timbre.
Yes,
to his
he's got
voice.
Great voice.
Brilliant pipes.
Yes, but you recognized the song, didn't you?
Well, it was the tune is People Get Ready. There's a train a-coming.
There you go.
Don't need no ticket. You just get on board. It's a great song.
Oh, I kind of want you to keep going.
What's the next bit of that? I can't remember.
I don't know, but I really
liked
that.
All you need is faith to hear the diesel humming.
All you need is faith. Need is faith. You hear the diesel gun. Great, it's great chord progression.
Get on board.
Yeah, it's great. Mm. It's also knocking on Evan's door and a load of different things. So.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Mike Waldman.
You're welcome.
Rare tracks from Mike's wardrobe every Tuesday right after 9 a.m. here on Daily Scramble Live. And next week, you already got planned or are you still thinking about it?
Well, there's some really big stuff coming out in the next couple weeks. You know, one of the things that's happening is that the Beatles are releasing 50 videos. So, and they've already started, and some of it's some rare stuff, so I think I'll be bringing in some of the music from that.
Cool. Yeah. I'm excited about that one.
Brilliant.
I think Matt Costa is still coming on the show this morning.
Hopefully. All right, we'll see.
And he's playing at the Marine Room for our KX Presents show on Thursday night, so we'll tell you more about that. This is KX 93.5 in Laguna Beach.
Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live. Daily Scramble.
That was worth waiting for.
I really wanted to play it.
I know. Thank you.
So it's always nice when people remind us that they listen to us. And by that, I mean they text or they email or they call or whatever, and we know that you're actually out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice for us. So we had somebody write in, Aaron, who I know listens to the show a lot, and commenting on what we were talking about in the news this morning. One of the things was the San Francisco home prices.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out something, and we mentioned that San Francisco's median rental price now for apartments for a two-bedroom is $5,000 a month as of this month. And Aaron says one of the positives associated with higher rental prices in San Francisco is the long-awaited, much-anticipated rebirth of Oakland. In the same way that Brooklyn kind of became hip when Manhattan was too expensive, Oakland is now that to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to make sure we knew that Oakland is finally moving toward a hipper, cooler place.
Right, and then the poor people of Oakland have to go somewhere else. So, you know, the downside of that is that this is... I don't know, man. There has to be another way to figure out how to do this without people who live in government-owned property feeling like that they live in some sort of lesser world than the rest of us. I don't know, it's just... It's an odd thing. It's a complicated thing.
Sure it is.
You know?
I don't have the answer.
No, neither do I. But he's right. He's right that Oakland does have a rebirth. And, excuse me, this is a sort of organic thing. And also, you know, they say if you say the median price of property, I was thinking about this while we were talking about it, that the median price of rentals for a two bedroom is $5,000 a month. I wonder what the median income is in San Francisco.
Far less somehow.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? So how
does it
work? Because
people live with roommates after roommate after roommate.
So how does the market deal? Because the market's supposed to solve all our problems, isn't it?
Yeah. People, so, I mean, I have friends in San Francisco who are just bottled up in an apartment.
Really?
That was built in 1935.
And there's five of them in a four bedroom.
The floors are falling out. And yeah, they pay an absorbent amount of money and they all live together in this tiny little house.
Hmm.
He also, Aaron, our listener, said that, Jason, you were right, which I know you like to hear. When you said that things we've embraced as common knowledge today have all become incorrect, he says you're right. He says something like dinosaurs becoming extinct. We thought that they were annihilated by a meteorite. Now we think they evolved into birds.
Right, I heard that. That's right. The feathered dinosaurs. And so, the zeitgeist or the spirit of the age just becomes different. But we're certain, this is the thing that we have to remember, we're so certain that we're right at any given point in time. And then, of course, you know, which is okay. It's nice to sort of feel grounded in a knowledge. But the truth is we don't know anything, really. We haven't even begun to, you know, the whole thing we were talking about earlier on today about consciousness. Why does it feel like anything to be alive? We've no idea. Nobody has any idea.
We got very deep on our radio show today.
We did.
Which was kind of fun for us. And thank you, Aaron, for writing in a well-thought-out long email to us about some of the stuff we were talking about.
Yeah, that's really cool, nice. Aaron. Absolutely. Thank you for just joining the discussion. It means a lot.
Anybody can do that anytime. You can text or call 949-715-KXFM. You can also email Jason or myself. It's just our first names, Tyler and Jason, at KX935.com.
But not Tyler and Jason. There isn't an email for that.
We should make one.
Maybe we should. Yeah.
Great.
We won't.
Daily Scramble Live.
Wherever you are in the world, you're with KX93.5. It's Laguna's only FM radio station. Matt Costa is a singer-songwriter from Huntington Beach, California. Good friend of the station, now lives in Laguna Beach. Got a new EP out called Cat Moster, and he's in the station today, right now. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yeah, good. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah. Pleasure.
Yeah. What's happening?
Oh, you know, just... doing the thing, trying to live the dream.
I think you're living it already.
I think so.
So you've got a big smiley face on.
I think so, yeah.
You're going to play on Thursday night for us at the Marine Room Tavern. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going to be a nice show. Just been, was last night staying up late rehearsing with the band guys, getting ready for it too.
So oh, great.
Pulling out all the stops. You know?
You're bringing everybody with you?
Yeah, I've been bringing all of us.
All the backing, all the horn section, the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that will be there, yeah.
Great.
One of the guys backed out, but he found a replacement, so I got a little nervous. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to cancel the show now. But then,
don't do that. Just, we're really excited about it, and you're bringing a band with you that are friends of yours, too.
Yeah, the opening band is a band called Ellie Mae and the Ricochets, and they're a band that I just worked with this last month, recorded and produced a record for them. And they're good musicians and good folks, and... they can all play, and she can really sing, and wrote some nice, real nice songs. And that's coming out. I think it came out today. So Ellie Mae and the Ricochets.
Great. Well, they're coming in tomorrow actually to play for us. So we'll find out more about them. Is that something you've done a lot of production? You're a production guy.
I like doing it. You know, ever since I started writing songs, my goal wasn't to be an acoustic guy. You know, it was more just trying to capture the sounds of the great records that I liked, and so. And I stumbled through it, you know, just learning all the parts and paying attention to how the tones were. And then just recently in the last couple of years, maybe six or so, then I've been working in the studio more, producing my own stuff and then a couple of people here and there. But that's this is the first real official band that I've done production on and released. So except for my own.
Right. Do you the kind of guy that likes to sit and sort of tinker away at the computer?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's more... the different instruments, more just, how it all fits in there, you know, sitting and trying to think about how the guitars are arranged and tonally and things. The computer is a scary thing. It starts to hurt your eyes after a while.
So,
it does, you know, you do stay in there pretty late. I've been up there like 6 a.m. trying to work on it. And I enjoy it, you know, because you come out of it, you know, you come out of it with something another. a tangible thing that didn't exist before. And so that's always what's great about it. And you take that world and then you have it at your disposal. You can bring it anywhere you want.
So. Yeah, well, we're glad you're bringing it here. And we're glad you're bringing it to the Marine Room Tavern on Thursday night. It's going to be good fun. Very excited. You want to play a song for us? You got a guitar. You may as well.
I got a guitar, yeah. I got it. This one works, so... I'll play some picking songs. This one is a...
Matt Costa. Beautiful. Wow. I love, you know, man, I grew up listening to that, you know, the Bert Jansch and the Nick Drake and the David Graham and the John Martin's huge. I'm a huge fan of John Martin. We play John Martin on the station.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I love John Martin.
And so,
I like all those guys too. I mean, yeah, I love the Bert Jansch and all that. So,
yeah.
That's cool.
Richard Thompson.
Oh, yeah. He's my favorite electric guitar player.
Is he really?
Yeah, it's funny. I grew up in Southern California, but I like all these British folk artists, folk and folk rock artists, and I got turned on to them just basically by listening to Donovan. You know, my uncle had turned me on to some of those early Donovan records when he was doing the folk stuff, and then I just kind of, it just triggered it in my brain that I wanted to hear that sound more, so then I've always seeked it out, and you know, I pieced together the pieces of the puzzle, and you know, finding out that's actually what turned me on to a lot of the American folk music is because I came about it in such a roundabout way. You know, you grew up with the sounds of the classic American guitar and blues and country and all that, but then when I heard those records, I didn't, you know, I never put it together because they have such a twist on it. They almost take it back to there's an original twist on it before it came across the pond. You know, they're kind of hearkening back to the old reels and the original way that a lot of those traditional tunes were played. And so that's in, I think, the music that they write. They play
right. There's that weird combination of Celtic sort of vibe and American blues.
Yeah. Well, they don't use. They're not. The thing is, they're almost like not as proficient at the blues as the American guys are.
Right.
So they do it in their own strange way, and it becomes a whole new thing. And so I was really intrigued by that, and so that's what turned me on to even paying attention to a lot of the old American blues guys. But I always try to keep that sort of that British twist to it because it's got such a unique thing to it.
Yeah, it's in the sort of it's in the ether at the moment. I think that scene from that time, you know, a lot of the sort of acoustic. You must feel this, that maybe sort of 10 years ago, acoustic guitar singer songwriters started to become a thing again. And people were hearing acoustic guitars in pop music. And those guys get proficient. I mean, they start out with three chords, but they play for 10 years and become great.
Oh, yeah.
And so it becomes, so there's more of that finger picking and more sophisticated, you know, chord changes. And
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, the cool thing I liked about that early Donovan stuff and then even going back to the Roots stuff and the stuff from the 20s and 30s of American blues and roots stuff is that it's folk music. So it was made by the people for the people, and it was really accessible. It was made to be made to be the entertainment that anyone could have at their hands, you know, and create. But then and then you get good at that, and then you start wondering, oh, well, how do you do these extra sounding chords?
Yeah,
that
sound
a little more evolved, and so you just kind of keep going with it. But I've definitely felt that. So,
yeah, man.
Let's remind people that Matt Cost is in studio, and he's playing on Thursday night at the Marine Room Tavern here in Laguna, which, as we've mentioned, is kind of a rare treat for us, although you live in town now. You're not playing in town very much, so to see you out live at the Marine Room for only $10 at an intimate venue, that's pretty cool for us that you're doing that, and for locals, too.
Oh, it's cool for me, too.
Yeah.
Go down to the Marine Room, play some jams, and I love it. It's cool.
Well, the last time we did a show with you was our music festival 3 years now,
yep.
Where you played with Colin Hay and a couple others at the Arts Grounds, and people from all over came to see you, and I know it's going to be pretty packed on Thursday night, too. How has moving to Laguna since then kind of changed your career or your music writing or anything?
Well, it's definitely, I've written a lot and I've been really productive since I've been here. You know, I got a nice, I feel like I've kind of settled into a nice headspace. Before, I felt like things were kind of closing in on me, and now I just sort of like opened up the windows and opened up the doors, and I feel like the songs kind of have that sort of feel. And so everything I've been releasing this year, I'm putting out 5 different EPs, and
wow.
And I produced that band, and I've done a couple of different soundtracks that are one of them's done, another one's in the works. Actually, I just had a meeting with a director 2 days ago, and he's going to be doing a documentary on that book, The Orange Sunshine.
Right.
But he's doing he actually helped the guy who wrote that, gave him a lot of the information, and he contacted me. He's been working on it for about 7 years.
Wow.
He's a younger guy, 36, and he's done a lot of great work so far. But he came to me and asked if I would help out in doing the soundtrack for it, and me living here in Laguna now. And I'd read the book a number of years ago, so I was already familiar with it and into it. So that's another thing. I think by the end of the year I think I'm going to try to have the songs completed by December. So that's another local project.
That's really cool. Great. Happen, yeah. That's about the brotherhood and the Timothy Leary.
Yeah.
And the writer of that,
Nick Shue.
Nick Shue, that's right. Thank you, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on the OC Weekly for a long time.
Yeah, he was OC Weekly. Yeah. And this guy who's doing the film, his name's William Kirkley. And
they're very intertwined with our town.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, know? Cool.
But it's nothing, it's kind of happened organically. I didn't seek anything out. It's just kind of, when stuff falls into place, then you just, you roll with it. So
right.
It's good.
Yeah, well, let's hear you perform one more. Again, Matt Cost in studio at the Marine Room on Thursday night. The new EP comes out next week, right?
It should be November 6th. I don't know.
I think that's next week.
Yeah.
Could be the week after.
Who knows? I don't even know if that's the day. Sometimes these things float around.
Shall I check your website and have a look?
They're not. Doesn't
you check his website while he plays. What's the next song you're going to do for us, Matt?
This is a song called Balboa Park. It's a new one that's off the new EP. The new EP is called Neon Brain. And I'll save that one for another time, but this one's called Balboa Park. The man next to me, his mother, she lives on Lake Michigan. He hasn't seen her in about 8 years, and he wonders about Lake Michigan. Girl next to him, she was a dancer, but now her legs don't work like they used to. She married a fireman, gone half the year in a station on the south side of Lake Michigan. I'm walking through Balboa Park again. The architecture always makes me sad. Now I'm sitting between the Navy men, their sunburned skin and tattoos of the Great Lakes, while one mother's in her sunset years in Vienna.
Beneath the shady tree, your mother is nursing a newborn baby. Nearby the fountains are endlessly spudding, 2,000 miles away from Lake Michigan. I'm walking through Balboa Park again. The architecture always makes me sad. Now I'm sitting between the Navy men, their sunburned skin and tattoos of the Great Lakes, while one mother's in her sunset years in Indiana. People small talk about nonsense and 16 cardinals. People small talk about nonsense. It's all 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 nonsense. There is a boy, he's riding a bike. He's wearing a black tie with black trousers, handing me flyers, trying to change it, trying to persuade my opinion. I'm walking through Balboa Park again. The architecture always makes me sad. Now I'm sitting between the Navy men, their sunburned skin and tattoos of the Great Lakes, while one mother's in her sunset years in Indiana. The man next to me, his mother, she lives on Lake Michigan.
That's a new song, so I mucked it up a lot. You guys got a special version.
Matt Costa, thank you, man. That was awesome. Live on KX93.5 in Laguna Beach, California. And Matt will be at the Marine Room Tavern on Thursday night. Doors are at 8 o'clock. And also Ellie Mae and the Ricochets, as well as the Rebel Light on that bill, $10. Benefiting our nonprofit station to see Matt on Thursday. Thank you, dude. Anything else, Jace?
No, man. That's just so wonderful to hear. You can't wait for Thursday, and thanks for swinging by.
Oh, yeah. I'll keep it swinging all the way till Thursday and through the night. So there you go.
We'll see you soon. Matt Costa, thank you.